Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jay's. Sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right. 77 down on the island in Galveston this morning. Looks like another nice day ahead. A mix of clouds and sun. High of 82. Winds will be east-southeast 10 to 20 today. And then for tonight, cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy after midnight with a low of 77. Southeast winds 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, chance of rain. How about that? Boy, we could use it. Cloudy with occasional rain showers. High of 83. Southeast winds 15 to 25 with a rain chance of 50%. We can only hope for it. Hopefully so. All right, looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We've gone back on a four-tide schedule. We're sitting on high right now. That was a 1.8 at 3:18 a.m. A low coming up at 9:13 a.m., a 1.4. And a high at 12:26 p.m., a 1.5. And then a low tonight at 8:11 p.m., an 0.6. Sunrise is 7:22 a.m., sunset 6:48 p.m. Moon phase is 29%. Almost up to our next new moon. Right now, Galveston, it's showing a southeast wind at 6 to 9. Water temp there in the Galveston Channel is 83 degrees. Eagle Point, we have 79 degree water with an east-southeast wind at 8 to 9. And Morgan's Point, 80 degree water with a northeast wind at 2 to 6 miles per hour. So, very nice morning. Again, this could spoil somebody big time. Have weather like this year-round. All right, well, let's run over east of town now to the Golden Triangle area and check in with Captain Bill Watkins this morning and see what's up. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Hey, man. How are you?
Pretty good. Well,
yeah,
it's okay. I'm here, and weather's nice. Everything's good. I'll take it.
Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with that. I actually got to fish Monday.
Right,
and, Monday. It was finally turned on in the lake. Mm-hmm. Finally. I ran out of Deep Bayou Landing. But there was nothing going on. It's over there, Johnson's Bayou.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they call it. It's actually on Deep Bayou.
Deep Bayou. Like, okay.
Yeah, Deep Bayou. And the redfish showed up for me. I mean, we caught 8 reds, and 7 of them were slots.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, yeah, they were beautiful. Orange, you know, real orange ones.
Well, the younger guys call them pumpkins.
Yeah, yeah. And, they're almost like carrot orange with gold.
Oh, they're pretty when they're like that. Blue tails.
Beautiful.
Yeah, man.
Oh, and they run anywhere between 19 to 22, 23.
Yeah.
We had one oversized. And they wanted redfish. That was the target.
Well,
and then we wound up catching. Yeah. I just made a lucky guess. You know, where I talked to a friend of mine. He said, you know, I caught some redfish in all of the drains yesterday on the Louisiana side. I said, no kidding. So I just, you know, I didn't know exactly where to go. So I just made a lucky guess.
Well.
And got on them in 2 or 3 different spots. They were in pods, you know.
Right.
3 and 4 to a spot. And then we went on later and spent a good time doing that. But you had to be patient with it. You put the power pole down and, oh, and my trolling motor broke.
Oh, no. Boy, yeah. I'll tell you, that Man.
You talk about a slap
in the face, man, when you're depending on your trolling motor this time of year. You got to have it, and then it tanks on you. Boy, that's new ball game, man.
Hey, let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. You won't believe this. So there's two switches on that self-deploy trolling motor. Mm-hmm. And they're up under the covers on the right and left side in the front. When they sense that the switch is thrown and it racks itself, so what happened is a dirt diver built on one of the switches. And you just won't believe this. There's a dirt diver built a nest right on the right-hand switch in the front.
God.
And, you know, I couldn't see it under there because there's a cover over it.
Sure.
When it racked itself, I picked it up and it pulled up. That switch didn't throw because the dirt diver nest was built around it real tight. Mm-hmm. And that caused it to suck up tighter, and it cracked and broke the left-hand switch.
Dang.
And so I took it apart. It wouldn't come out of the rack. So I took it apart, took the covers off of it, and I found a dirt diver nest. And then the other side, the switch was broken. Cracked half in two. Because it pulled it up too tight. Just how in the world can that happen? But, you know, if it happens, it'll happen to Bill. I promise you that. You know, they call me the crash test dummy around there at the dealership.
You can definitely call that a fluke, you know, something like that going wrong. That's, you know.
I never had anything happen like that.
No.
It's nuts. Anyway, so I had it deployed a couple of times, and I went to the next spot and where we found those redfish, and it broke. So then I had to use the Raptor. I've got a Raptor. It's bulletproof. Mm-hmm. And that thing saved the day. That's what you call system redundancy. You have to have one of the two. And fortunately, everywhere I was going to anchor up was shallow enough that I could anchor. You know, yeah. I've only got an 8-foot Raptor, so it's, you know, only hold in about 4.5 foot of water, you know, if it's mud and stuff.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was not windy. You know, it was a really nice day. So we went on from catching the redfish and drove up to Mid Lake and got in the mouth of a bayou, and the tide was going out by then. And we put the stick down and started casting in that current out into the middle of the bayou. Mm-hmm. And boy, I mean, every once in a while we'd stick a good trout. So we caught 9 trout, 2 flounder, and 7 reds. That was a good trip. Yeah. We had a table full of fish. So that's how that went down. And of course, it was right back to glow with a yellow tail or pearl white.
Shocking.
It's been on that color all year. That water was pretty and tannic colored.
Oh, yeah, you know? I love it when that lake looks like that over there.
Man. You can see like about 3 foot now. That whole Louisiana shoreline was nice.
The water's clean. You know, it's clear
where you
have good visibility, but those fish feel safer in it because of that tannic, you know, they think they're hiding in it.
Yeah. And most of them were in about 2 to 6 feet.
Yeah.
That's the way it was working.
You know, up here on the Upper Coast, that's just a magic depth. That makes it easier catching fish. They're usually, most of the year, they're going to be in like 2 to 6 feet of water.
Yeah, that's right.
You think about it all year, all the depths you catch them in, you know, except in the real hot summer, then you catch them in a lot deeper water for the most part.
Yeah.
But pretty much year-round, 2 to 6, that's kind of the depth we fish most of the time.
Yeah, water temperature was 79 degrees. Now the last time I went, a week and a half ago, we caught them 12 foot down and 13 foot.
I remember that.
Bite.
What was that depth that one day you caught on the deepest I ever heard of? It was 21 feet or something?
Oh, I caught 23.4
23 feet? That's deep, man.
Yeah, that was crazy. Outgoing tide, mm-hmm. pushing into a 15-foot little hatchet-faced ridge.
It was
jutting out. And, it's just an interesting place. And that tide was rushing up there and going out, and those fish were on the bottom.
Amazing.
I mean, there was some reds down there, too, oversized reds.
Right.
They'd thump you jig every once in a while. And it was quiet enough, the current wasn't strong enough, we could still get away with a quarter ounce.
Right.
It was just easy outgoing tide. And, boy, those fish were there. We'd catch, you know, 16, 17, 18-inch trout, mm-hmm. and then a bull red. And the ladyfish were, if you could get it through the ladyfish, that's they were thick on them, about 6 foot down. Oh, man, there were so many ladyfish and pretty good stout ones, too. And it's hard to get your bait through them.
You know, jig head weight is probably the most important when you're fishing soft plastics. Actually, more important than the color you're throwing is the size of the jig head.
Yeah, I don't think they could see down there where we were fishing anyway, but they were feeling that.
Yeah.
The vibration off that jig on the bottom.
Yeah, they were.
Now,
all right, let me take this break, Bill, and I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:17. Okay, Bill, we're back.
Now, that's what I call music.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Santana. That is some good stuff. But back to the fishing. So I made hunting. I made my...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about your hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I saw two little does, and I didn't even sit Sunday morning because critters weren't stirring, and I guess coming off that moon, but I was real disappointed about that place because I've been there lots of times and I always have more than enough animals to shoot.
Right.
But this time there wasn't that many animals. So I think they've shot that place out. So
really,
I won't be going back. Yeah, and they raised the prices on everything and it was disappointing. So I saw one pretty good doe, but by then I was just disgusted, sitting there, not seeing anything. In a high-fence ranch, you know, I'm used to watching, you know, herds of animals go through.
Sure, yeah.
And that was...
What area of the state were you hunting in?
Up St. Augustine.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you talking about going up there last year.
Oh, yeah. Went up there 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it's always been excellent hunting, you know. Of course, that's a meat hunt for us.
Right.
We're shooting does. None of us are that worried about antlers anymore. We've killed enough of them, you know. we've all got racks piled up in our barns, and you know, so it's just a hunt for us to get together, and you know, my cousin and his wife, and his grandson, and my son and his girlfriend, and we just have a good time, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was disappointing for me. And like I say, they raised all the prices. Priced me out. I'm not.
There's a lot of that pricing out going on right now.
Oh, well, they're just ridiculous.
Yeah, everything's getting so expensive.
Yeah, $500 for a whitetail dove. $800 for an axis dove.
Yeah.
And $1,200 for a red hind?
No.
no. You know, I think I'm going to start spending my money on steak. Just buy me some beef.
Yeah.
I mean, it's expensive too, but
yeah,
at least you don't have to pay for lodging or any of that.
No. Just have you half a steer processed or something like that.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I like beef tenderloin.
Oh, yeah.
You can get one of those at Sam's. It's just like butter. You cut it. It's beautiful. And,
yeah, who doesn't like ribeyes? A good rare filet, man?
Oh, man, yeah. That's, mm-mm-mm. I bought two of them from Sam's here in the last 6 months. And, oh, man, those things, they're so good. But, you know, I've got to calculate now how much I'm spending on deer hunting. Maybe I'll just put that into the beef.
Chew slow and enjoy.
Yeah, chew slow and enjoy.
Savor that flavor, man.
Savor the flavor. Yeah, that's right.
You know, Blaine's meat guy that he's been a friend of ours for years, and he was like a butcher and all that, but he's into meat sales and all that, you know, like selling in bulk commercially and all that. And he said the best bang for your buck these days on beef is just to buy those small tenderloins. You know, already prepackaged, two in a package or whatever, and he said you can't go wrong with them.
No. I bought the whole roll at Sam's, I think. And the last one I spent $145 on. It was a big one, untrimmed.
Yeah.
And, man, I sliced that thing up, and it was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you get priced out of deer hunting, you know, that's just a sad story. They priced me out of my deer lease. I had to give that up. And, you know, if I was going to go hunting, I think I'd go down to Blaine's place, hand him whatever.
That's the best bang for your buck.
Oh, you know, it
you
is.
You don't have to do all the work of filling feeders and maintaining everything and all your lodging and everything. It's just better to pay for a once-a-year package hunt like that for 3.5 days, and you can fill your freezer on that deal and all the accommodations, you know, all the meals, lodging, everything. It's all-inclusive.
Yeah. So I think maybe the next time, next year, I'm going to probably shoot for that.
See
if I can hook up with him. And I like hunting that country down there, you know.
Yeah, that's kind of the last frontier in Texas, you know.
Yes,
they're fishing down there and the hunting in South Texas. That's it's a whole different world.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, they sent me a picture of a snake they killed on a dove hunt. It didn't bite anybody. A 7-footer.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll text you that picture after we get off there. I mean, this thing was... The head on it, I can't believe the size of the head on that snake, how big it was, and the length.
Oh, shoot.
Two guys holding it up, you can tell, and I know both of them, and they're both over 6 feet tall, and this snake was just, what a huge rattlesnake.
Mm. Man, oh, man.
And that sandy soil down there, like where he's at, that's it grows big snakes.
Mm.
You know, 5 and 6 footers aren't uncommon. You see a lot of those. That's pretty much the average on those big snakes when they kill them. But a 7 footer, that's an eye opener right there. That's a big one.
Yeah. That's yeah, that snake. Son of a gun can, he could hit you from a long way away.
Lord.
And knock you completely down. And maybe eat you too.
Yeah. Getting that Burmese python mode. You know, I saw where state of Florida, you know, how they've been trying to wipe out all these exotic snakes in the Everglades that are just obliterating the habitat. And in the last decade, they've harvested over 20 tons, that's tons now, of Burmese python snakes.
Golly.
20 tons.
Mm.
In a decade.
That's 40,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's a lot of snakes.
That's a lot of snakes.
But
I hope they're edible.
Those snakes are getting so huge in Everglades, they're eating alligators, they're eating deer. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. And all from people releasing pets.
That's what it all originated from, pet release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that's not a good idea.
Remember, you used to read all the stories about people's pets missing, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody's snake could get out, and then it's roaming wild in the neighborhoods and the shadows eating our little pet critters.
Kitty cats, and puppy dogs, and all kinds of stuff. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, snakes like that, when they get thick, they're big, and they can eat all the rabbits and any baby alligators, and whatever, you know, and just swallow them whole.
Yeah. Exactly. Kind of like the, you know, the shark and the dolphin predator thing we have going on the coast now. I mean, how many fish a day are they eating? It's hard to keep a balance. You know, the balance is delicate. But there's always a bigger fish in the pond that's going to eat you, no matter what size fish you are. There's always somebody that can eat you.
Yeah.
Tough and world out there.
Then there's the sharks.
Yes, sir. The tax man.
He'd take them in a gray suit.
Yes, sir.
I had trouble with them this year. Just the other day.
Everybody has.
Monday,
I've heard more
Monday
shark stories this year than ever.
Yeah, we had them hit our line. They ate one of our fish, a trout, pretty nice trout. Of course, they always go for the better ones.
Sure.
And I think that shark was probably 4 or 5 foot. Probably a bull shark, but I didn't get a good look at him. He just come up and ate that trout. And earlier in the morning, one of the guys had a shark hit his jig right on the surface. He was ripping it in, trying to get it back out for another cast. And that jig was skipping across the water, and he just took it.
I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, just bam. I mean, water threw water all over us. You know, that's just disconcerting. And I've never caught a shark in that place, you know, but they're in there now.
Been hearing that a lot. We've never seen sharks here before. Well, now you have.
Yeah. But they are now. Well, that's my report for today.
That's a good one. Very thorough and just like I like it.
Not
all
lucky in deer hunting, but lucky in fishing.
Somebody wants to get over there and hang out for a day and learn the lake and catch some fish, how they get a hold of you?
409-673-9211.
tonight, buddy.
That'll get you there.
Well, you have a good day, and I will be talking to you later in the week on Saturday, and we'll see what's up then. Cross
yes,
paths
sir.
Again.
All
right, Bill.
All
we'll
right.
see you, my friend.
You.
Take care. All right. Folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. Full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for deliveries. And other distributors, let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on those long deliveries, their sales team with over 100 years of combined experience is here to support you from start to finish. Whether it's a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction, remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at AlliedInc.com. That's 281-332-62. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 4:34 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Conroe now and check in with a fish dude this morning. Good morning, Richard. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Man, I'm here, buddy. It's all good.
I heard that, brother. I heard that, man. It's still nice out here, man. It's 63 degrees right now. I mean, good night. We're finally in the fall.
Yeah.
Don't hurt my feelings at all. I guarantee you, there ain't no doubt about that, man. But I tell you what, the water temperature needs to come on down now. That's all we need is a little bit of wind to make it start happening. But it's, you know, it's dropping 82 or so right now, so it's not too terribly bad. But it sure be nice to see it in the mid-70s. That way, hybrids will... Yeah, I know. Maybe them hybrids will fire up once it gets there, but right now it's just still not. They're still not doing very much.
Just crawling into fall.
I know, and then you know once it hits, it's going to turn winter real quick. You know, ain't no doubt about it.
We've seen that before. It goes from summer to winter.
Ain't no doubt.
Oh, man, we didn't have a fall this year. What happened?
Exactly what happened. We went from summer straight into winter. But I mean, yeah, it's like that. I used to have grandparents live in Hobbs, New Mexico, and I remember going over there for Christmas one year, and at Christmas Eve it was like 80 degrees. Christmas Day there was a couple inches of snow on the ground. It's like, it went from summer to winter that quick. But it's all right. I mean, it's the dang bass are starting to try to do pretty good. Though, so that's one of the things. I've been catching them on a little bit of everything, and it's what's funny is they're still kind of hanging shallow. You know, a lot of those bass have been. I keep looking at the offshore bass, and there's some out there. You know, they're just I can't get them dang things to eat much. You know, but
right.
I can take that tap out and throw it under some bushes, some docks, around the grass. You know, just pretty much anywhere I want to throw that thing. And catch fish, you know, sometimes, for the most part, they're not any giant ones, but I've had, you know, some fours, threes and fours, so it's pretty consistent. And then you'll catch those little dinks, you know, those 12 and 13 inch fish, which is, you know, I mean, they're fun to catch, but it is what it is. They're little fish, you know, and then take a topwater bait, chunk it out there and catch 5 pounder all of a sudden. It's like, good night, you know, so. But it's just crazy how they are. But eventually they're going to move up on these rocks. I mean, them dang bass, I keep expecting them to move on those rocks. And I keep chunking square bills and stuff up there at them. And you get that one random fish, you know, and that's about it. But I can't find any big numbers on the rocks yet. And it's, you know, anybody that fishes Conroe knows, for the most part, especially in the cooler months, it's, you know, or any time of the year, it's rocks or docks. You know, cooler mm-hmm. months, you fish rocks. Warmer months, you fish the docks. So it's, you know, even though there's a lot of offshore structure, you know, brush piles and things like that people put out. And typically that's where I catch a lot of my bigger fish on those offshore brush piles.
Right.
But for some reason this year, I just cannot get those fish to fire up and eat. You know, you can, like I say, you can see them out there. But they're just, I don't know if my timing's off or what it is, because, you know, years ago, when I'd fish these tournaments a lot of times on Conroe, I'd have brush piles that I'd kind of make a rotation through. You know, start on one, go to the next, and then come back and rotate back through them again. And a lot of times you start off on that first one and never catch a fish, and then you go throughout the day, and then you say, well, I'm going to go back to that first one. You go back to it, and then boom, you limit out on it real quick. Right. So it's just a matter of getting them to fire, you know, and that's the thing. You just can't hardly get them rascals to fire. But that we finally got a little bit of wind trying to blow anyway, so yesterday we did pretty good. We caught us a nice limited catfish, and that, you know, that wind wasn't blowing on one spot, so I had to move around and get on the opposite side of the lake, and it finally got a little bit of a breeze. You know, it wasn't about 3 or 4 miles an hour, but it's enough to keep that surface kind of broke up, and we got us a pretty nice limit pretty quick, so it wasn't too bad. You know, didn't have quite as many small ones. We had, you know, we kept 50 and then probably threw back around 25 or 30 short ones. So it's like I say, with that wind blowing them dang little ones, they'll just wear you out. And I mean, you'll catch the dang many of them that's unreal. And but you get a little bit of a breeze on there, I mean, it just doesn't take much, just a little bit, and them rascals, they fire up and do real good with
that's
the bigger
so strange.
Fish. So
yeah, that's crazy.
It really is. I mean, and this, to be perfectly honest, this is the first year I've ever noticed that difference, you know, but it's happened so many days in a row that it's, you can't help but notice it. I mean, it automatically, once the wind stops and it gets slick, the bite slows way down and you catch a bunch of little ones. You know, like if you get that little bit of a breeze blowing, you'll catch 10 keepers, one or two small ones in that mix. And if the wind stops, you catch 20 little ones and one keeper. It's just amazing the difference, you know. And it's, you know, you think about it and you think, well, you know, that's a lot of fish, but a lot of little ones just, I mean, especially with them goofy old catfish, man, them little rascals will eat you alive. I mean, good night. Mm-hmm. They'll stab you to death with them spears hanging off the side of their head. So it's, man, and you know, and that's the thing about them. The smaller ones are their fins are so much sharper than an older one. You know, a bigger catfish. That's so. I just try not to handle them at all. You know, it's one of those things where if I can avoid touching them, I don't touch them at all. I grab them with a pair of pliers or get my little hook out that I got from Hackberry and sling them suckers off of there. That way, I ain't got to touch them. But the bigger ones, they don't really, it's no big deal, because as they get older, you know, it's kind of like, I use the example, it's kind of like us when we're young, our front teeth, especially as fishermen, are sharp. You know, I can't tell you how much line I've cut with my teeth when I was young, and then as you get older, your front teeth get dull and flat. Well, those catfish are the same way, you know. I mean, them rascals, their fins are nice and sharp when they're young. But as they get older, they rub into things and dull those points out. Now, that's, well, that said, they'll still stab you, but they don't, they're not as likely to get you as quick, you know, and that's the main thing. But yeah, I used to have a couple of slots in my front teeth. One of them was for 14 pound, another one was for 17 pound test. So it's, I finally quit doing all that and using scissors, because I can't cut it no more. My dang teeth are so flat. It's, you know, it's one of those things, you know, growing up, you kind of do that. And I used to tell these kids on the boat, I said, don't do what I'm doing right now. And I'd bite that, you know, get in a hurry, you know, and bite that dang line in half. Get that braided line, you can't do nothing with it. You know, you got to have scissors on it. So I just got in the habit of, using scissors on everything. So that's one of the big things. You know, a lot of people carry like fingernail clippers and stuff like that. I carry me just a couple pair of old cheap scissors in the boat. They'll do just about anything you want. So it's,
Did you see that picture or the video that's floating around? Somebody caught a record bass on video. It's over 16 pounds in some Texas lake.
No, I've not seen that
one. I'm looking for it again to ask you about it, but I can't find it.
I hadn't seen that one, but I've been watching the one out of California where they've done caught that world record bass twice. You know, I can't remember what they named that fish, but the first time it was caught, it was foul hooked, and so it doesn't count as
so
a
it
record
count,
being foul.
Right.
Right. And then they caught it a second time and foul hooked it, and it's the same fish because it's got certain markings on it. And you know, it still doesn't count, but it's over 20 some odd pounds. It's like 22, 23 pounds.
22 something.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a big rascal, but you know, when you're foul hooking them, they don't count, you know. And that's what's crazy, because you get some people that, you know, they've attempted it in the past, try to weigh them in as a record, you know, after they've been foul hooked, and you know, a lot of times they get found out, you know. And it's like, you know, just do the right thing. It's a big fish, yeah, and a record's a record, but do it the right way, you know. But you know, especially in California, because in California it's illegal to snag fish, period. It doesn't matter what you're doing, it's illegal to snag them. If you catch them outside of the mouth, you have to release them. So, and you know, over here, I mean, good night, we catch some fish on the outside all the time, but in a tournament situation it don't count, you know. That's the thing. And you know, it's like catfish. I mean, good night, I catch so dang many catfish in the back and the belly and the tail, because they'll slap at your bait and you'll jerk, and when you jerk, you know, they've already hit it and they're trying to get away. When you jerk, you hook them in the tail, and man, you think you got a freight train on the other end too when you get a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they got to pull them like crazy. You got the powerful end of them then. When you get them in the head, you can kind of control them, and that, with that tail, you can't hardly do it. And we, whenever I was catching those carp, man, we'd hook one of them carp, them 20-pound carp in the tail like that. And man, you thought the world was coming to an end. Them rascals was gonna pull all the line off your reel. I mean, it was just crazy. But you know, I hadn't caught any of them carp in a long time, and I know there's still some out there, but I hadn't caught many of them in a while. So it's you know, that's one of them things where you just, I don't know. I know the population's dying down, because it's they only live about 20 years or so. And it, you know, I get a lot of people at times tell me, oh, them carp reproduce. No, not the white Amur, not the grass carp. They don't do it. And if you find any of them that you think have reproduced, Parks and Wildlife wants to have those fish, because they know they don't reproduce. They're a triploid. They can't do that. You know, they have to lab grow those things, basically. So there's no way they can reproduce, even though right. A lot of people spot those German carp up there on the banks in the early spring spawning, and that's what it is. It's German carp. It's not the white Amur. So it's you know, it's one of those things. And I have them tell me all the time, and they'll argue with me, no, that's grass carp. No, it ain't.
No, them rascals are,
yeah, German carp or gold. They're,
well, they'll blow up in that grass, and everybody in the boat will go, man, that was a big bass. I said, man, that was a carp.
I know it. I had it when I was guiding over at Gibbons years ago, man. I'd pull into some of these spots, and those carp would be back there. And they'd go, we need to get back there, man.
Oh,
there's some giant ones back there. No, we don't need to get back there. Those are all carp. I mean, them rascals, they will destroy an area. But it's, you know, it's funny, you know, talking about those carp and stuff. There's areas on Conroe, and I get people that say, all right, carp are in here, I'm going to leave because there's no bass in here. What's strange is you get sections like in a creek. There'll be one little section that'll be loaded down with carp, and as you go back in the creek, it turns from carp to gar, and then as you pass those gar up, then you get into the largemouth. The bass are back behind all
of them. Yeah, and hope there's not any grinnels in between.
Oh, yeah, no joke. Them big
all right, Richard,
wrestles.
Hey, a listener texted me, Philip, said that the name of that bass, his name is Spot. That's what they named
okay.
It.
Okay, yeah, well, like I say, that thing has been, you know, it's been out there for several years.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
it's
a beast.
Yeah, it is.
It's a beast. All right, buddy, well, I got to run. If somebody wants to call you, Richard, give them some info how they can reach you, man, and go fishing.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com, or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, buddy. Have a good day, Richard. Catch him up.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
Later. Bye-bye. All right. All right, let's go to Charlie P. in Matagorda and see what he's up to this morning. Captain Charlie Paradosky, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning. Nothing new. Same old song and dance.
Same old song and dance. Well, the Blue Jays bats came to life last night. That was ugly.
Yeah. Well, I don't see either one of those teams beating the Dodgers.
I don't see anybody beating them way there. I mean, a couple of guys are going to slump, and then guys that have been in a slump will come out of it. I mean, they got so much depth. But, hey, they're the best team money can buy. I mean, you talk about money.
They paid for them. Ain't no doubt about that.
Well, they should win.
Yeah.
Let's buy the championship. Let's go.
Yeah. That's what they're doing. It's what's going to happen. And there ain't a damn thing we can do about it.
No, and I was hoping the lowest paid payroll in the business would beat them, you know, the Brewers. Kind of like the Florida Marlins did that year. Remember when they won the World Series with the lowest payroll in the business?
Oh, yeah. They had some great baseball players on that team, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, nothing new on the fishing, Mickey, it just seems like it's kind of gotten stale. You know, we're just waiting for some colder weather.
Yeah, a little, some kind of change, huh?
Yeah.
Y'all you know, real dry over there.
Oh, hell yeah. Man, we hadn't had any rain hardly the whole year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we got little trout showing back up everywhere, you know?
Right.
Just need a change. A lot more fish showing up in the river. But the funny thing is, you know, the west end of the bay where we can always go out there and catch fish drifting like we do all winter long.
All that shell down on that end, yeah.
We ain't catching them over there. It's stale. They are not eating, not there.
Time to go east, old man. No, I know you like fishing that east end, man.
Yeah, we've been over there. That's the only place we've been able to catch them. So that's it in a nutshell. We had another Guides Cup tournament Tuesday, and, you know, we've had these real high tides, and Troy Keane won it. But, and
who
did? Troy Keane, K-E-E-N.
Okay. Right.
He's a longtime guide down here. And he knows he has an airboat. He knows that marsh better than anybody back behind Spring Bio and all that. And when he had those high tides like that, I knew he was going to win it. He knew right where to go.
Yeah, because you don't have that big red, you're not going to win.
Yeah. See, I took a chance. I went west. I hadn't been catching any reds. Went back down there, and I just, that whole West Bay is just stale looking.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot find a pile of reds anywhere. You know, we caught one here, one there, but not what I needed. But that's it. That's tournament fishing.
Yeah, you were looking for the
pump. You're either on them or you're not.
End up going to the dumpster, you know, that's the way it works.
Yeah. I don't think there was a 4-pound trout caught. You know, out of, what, 15, 18 guides?
Yeah.
But
was that a weigh when you catch them, weigh photo and release deal?
Yeah,
was
it? Right. Okay. Right.
Not even a 4-pounder caught. That's crazy.
Yeah. The complete opposite of this past weekend with all these big tournaments and all the buckets of dead fish, but I still didn't even see a big trout last weekend.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I know we have them. I think they're just laying out there in the middle of the bay.
When it gets colder, they'll get more vulnerable and easier to catch.
Yeah.
Get rid of a lot of the little stuff.
I didn't fish yesterday, but they said the tide fell out pretty good yesterday with that north wind.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to head back down today and fish the whole weekend.
Equinox and get back to normal tides again.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of like the high tides. You know, we didn't have them all year long, but.
You heard Mike Williams died this past Saturday, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He passed away this past Saturday. Another one gone, Charlie. Yeah.
They're dropping like flies, man. I've lost about 3 good customers here recently, ain't no stopping to it. Who's next?
None of us going to get out of this alive, I can tell you that.
Don't doubt about that. Every night when I go to bed, I say, well, made it through one more day.
Well, I don't think about it when I go to bed. I try to think about it when I wake up, go, oh, I made another one.
Oh, well, it is what it is.
I know, man.
So,
been a good run, though.
Yeah, sure has been. Just glad I got to see what I did.
Yeah, a lot of people hadn't had as much fun catching fish as we have.
No, I don't think I'd have done it any other way.
Met some great people, lifelong friends from it.
Yeah,
that's what everybody in politics ought to start doing is fishing together. They'll all become friends and get along.
Oh, my God. I don't know. There's too many screws loose, man.
Well, that's true. People like that don't fish. That's what's wrong with them. They don't fish and hunt.
Yeah. It's a mess. Ain't no doubt about it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, you fishing today?
No.
Oh, good. Rest up. Get ready for the
ball
game.
Get back at it tomorrow.
I think the first game's around 5 o'clock, somewhere in there, maybe 4, and then the late game's at 7. So.
Right. That's what it is.
Well, narrowing them down.
They ain't got many left.
And baseball's over for the year.
Yep.
All right, buddy. Well, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come over and fish Matagorda with you this winter.
713-725-2401.
All right, buddy. Well, Charlie, have a good one. It's always a pleasure. And, hey, make another one.
Take care, Mickey.
All right, brother. Later.
Bye.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.